Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Contemporary Worship Online. My name is Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate at St Andrew's and All Saints, and it's wonderful to have you with us today. And whether you're joining us for the first time or the 101st time, my prayer is that during our worship and our the word and our prayers, you will encounter Jesus, the living, resurrected Jesus, and you will encounter his love for you during our worship today. Now, many of you will know that it on Thursday was Ascension Day, the day when the church celebrates and remembers Jesus ascending to heaven to sit on the right hand of God after his resurrection from the dead. And before he ascended to heaven, he told his friends, the disciples, to go back to Jerusalem and wait. They were there to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would then guide them and lead them into taking the good news of Jesus Christ to all nations. Next week is Pentecost, when we celebrate that outpouring of the Spirit and the birth of today's church. And so we are at this time, in that time of waiting. We are with those disciples waiting for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are time praying for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our nation, into our communities, and around the world. This time is also associated with the Thy Kingdom Come Global Prayer Initiative. And that's a time when the church is called and encouraged to pray specifically that more people will come to know the love of Jesus. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But Reverend Dave Bruce, our rector, he's going to speak into this whole context of waiting, which is something that many of us are very aware of in our season at the moment. So before we sing and worship and lift our voices in some worship, let me pray. And let me pray by reading from Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. And in his word I put my hope. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. And I pray that in our worship you will know God's unfailing love for you, and that you will put your hope in the truth, the word, the scriptures that is Jesus. Amen. So let us stand and worship.
Waiting here for you. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, you'll receive power. The power of the Holy Spirit can be with you all, wherever you are. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Peace be with you.
My brothers, my sisters, we have work to do.
So I hope we've just managed to see a little film clip portraying the story of the Ascension. So the disciples went back to Jerusalem to wait. Oh, hang on, just wait there for a moment. Hi, how did that feel? What did waiting feel like there for a moment? Was that a bit odd, with me not being there and silence and you just waiting there? I wonder what waiting means for you. I hate waiting. I'm so impatient. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, actually, waiting feels like this rock. It's hard and it's uncomfortable and it's solid. It's not cozy, is it, waiting? And for many of us, waiting is deeply uncomfortable. But then the Lord showed me another aspect of waiting. And I was given this tomato plant by some lovely friends quite recently, and I'm trying to keep it alive and get some fruit from it. But I've got to wait for the fruit of this tomato plant. And I suddenly found a warmth in that sense of waiting, because I'm going to be able to wait and watch this plant grow and the fruit begin to be born on it. And so there was a good waiting in there. So I wonder, just, you might want to stop, pause this for a moment. And just, if you're with others at this, think two questions really. What does waiting feel like for you? Is it uncomfortable? You can't quite comfortable? And the other thing is to think of some of the things in your life that you are presently waiting for. Some of them may be very obvious things that you're waiting for because of the lockdown. You might be waiting to go and see friends. You might be waiting to get back to work. You might be waiting to get back to school. But there might be other things much broader than that. You may be waiting for a prayer to be answered, or you might be waiting for a healing to happen, or you might be waiting for that friend or that family member to come and know Jesus. Why don't you just stop for a moment and just reflect for yourself, what does waiting feel like for you? And list some of those things that you are waiting for. If you did pause and you are now back, we're going to ask the children to go and go into their groups. There's the resources on the websites that they can get stuck into, or perhaps you want to stay and worship. But we're now going to go back into some sung worship. So let's lift our hearts in sung worship.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want born to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship.
Sound of heaven.
let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear the sound of heaven touching earth? The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Break out walls down.
The first book I wrote was about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. Before this, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told the apostles he had chosen what they should do. After his death, he showed himself to them and provided in many ways that he was alive. The apostles saw Jesus during the 40 days after he was raised from the dead. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, "Wait here to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. John baptized people with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles were all together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, are you now going to give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The Father is the only one who has the authority to decide dates and times. These things are not for you to know.
But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and every part of the world." After he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud hid him from their sight. As he was going, they were looking into the sky. Suddenly, two men wearing white clothes stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Jesus, whom you saw taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you saw him go." They went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and this is the mountain. This mountain is about a kilometer from Jerusalem. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, known as the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, were there. They all continued praying together with some women. including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers.
Well, can I add my welcome to that of Peter's? It's lovely to be with you here again today. And as we look at this passage from Acts chapter 1, I'd love us first to pray. To pray for God's direction and God's words to us this morning. So Lord, may the words that I say be honouring to you. May they lead us into truth. May they deepen our walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, Paul talked about these times that we're in, being betwixt and between times, where we've left one familiar way of life, and we find ourselves in that in-between place, not quite knowing what our immediate future will hold, not quite knowing what the new normal is going to look like for our family life, for our friends, for our jobs, for our church. It's a time of disorientation, a time where we can feel out of control, a time where we can find ourselves very unsettled and anxious. And as one person said to me this week, described it as being on the corona coaster of life. I'm sure we can relate to those ups and downs. But today, as we reflect on this passage from Acts chapter 1, we find the disciples also in a betwixt and between place as well. See, our reading leaves them gathered together in the upper room. And what they've just done is they've just been with Jesus as Jesus has ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is now, praying, interceding for us, the Bible says. It's an amazing picture of Jesus praying for us. But the disciples, the followers who travelled with Jesus for 3 years, who'd been with him all that time, where they'd seen him teach, they'd seen him heal. Jesus had brought them comfort, he'd brought them peace, he'd been with them, he'd demonstrated his love to them, he'd shown them how to be. They'd seen him die, they'd seen him come back to life. And now he'd gone from them, gone back to his Father. But he promised that actually time was coming in a short time where actually they would receive his presence in a different way through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus would come to live in them. But now they're living in this in-between time, this betwixt and between time, waiting, disoriented, looking to see what's ahead. And Jesus had given them instructions before he went. He told them something of their calling, something of their mission. He said, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. As Luke describes, Luke, the author of Acts, which is really a follow-on from Luke's Gospel. It's really Luke's Gospel part two. He says, in my first book, I described all that Jesus began to do. And the implication here in this book of Acts is that these were the things that Jesus was continuing to do, but not in person, but through his followers, through the church. Jesus had passed on his mission to the church. And so his disciples were ready, were eager, were waiting to start that mission. But they didn't start straight away. They didn't just jump in, because Jesus gave them clear instructions. He said, wait. Wait to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so in this time that we see, in this time that we are in now between Ascension and Pentecost, the disciples are waiting for the promises of Jesus. And I want us to think, have a look at how they waited, and think, how can that help us as we wait in our own betwixt and between time now? What might we learn from them? What might the lessons that God wants us to learn in this strange time be? Well, firstly, I want to say what those disciples did is they held on to the promises of Jesus. You know, it must have been quite easy if they'd seen Jesus go and actually they were left on their own and perhaps felt quite distant now from the Jesus that actually they'd been with and lived with for so long. But actually what they did was they held on to his promises, his promise that he would empower them with the Holy Spirit, the counsellor, the comforter, the helper. The Holy Spirit would come and they held firm to the promises that Jesus had given. I wonder whether in these betwixt and between times we need to just hear again that call to hold on to God's promises. Perhaps in this time there have been times where we perhaps haven't sensed God as closely as we have done before. Perhaps there are times when we don't sense God at all. But we hold on to the truths of Scripture. His promises that he's with us, that he will sustain us, that he'll give us all that we need to journey through these challenging times. We don't live by our feelings. We live by the truth of God's word, of God's promises. So the disciples at that time were holding on to Jesus' promises. They also, that waiting, time of waiting, was also a time of letting go of control. You know, they'd been given a mission to be witnesses, but instead of rushing out to do it their way, with their good ideas, they were called to stop. And wait on God for his direction, for his empowering, for his timing. They were called to wait to do it his way. And I think that may well be a lesson for many of us at the moment. I loved what Chris and Lucy last week said in their testimony at the contemporary service about how as their diary emptied and as everything just fell apart around them in many ways, that they realised that they weren't in control any longer, but that God was. It's a lesson for us to know that we are not in control, but God is. I love what Francis Chan says in his book, Forgotten Gods. He says, I spent years asking God to be part of whatever I was doing. But when I read the book of Acts, I see people privileged to play a part in what God was doing. You see, the lesson for us maybe at the moment is in these disorientation of these times, God is calling us to let go of the control over our lives and trust that he's in control. Rather than saying, God, will you come and bless what I am doing? Will we stop and be open and learn the lesson and say, Lord, what are you doing? And show me how I can join in with you. I think that may be a particular lesson for us as a church at this time, as so much of what we do has just fallen away. And we've had to lay it down. And as we come to this next season and work out what life is going to look like in these coming weeks, more than ever we're going to need to go to God and say, God, what are you doing? Where are you leading us? We're no longer going to put on our programs and be in control ourselves, but we want to be guided by you. To learn to let go of control. But also what we see more than anything is they devoted themselves to prayer. We see, we read that in that upper room they gathered together over those 10 days to pray. And I've been thinking, what difference did that prayer make? What was going on when they prayed? And I think lots of things probably, but I want to just highlight two things. Firstly, I think their hearts were softened and prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a bit like when you get a sponge that's not been used for a long time, that's really dry. And when you pour water on that dry sponge, initially it just bounces off and doesn't receive, and none of that water soaks in. But actually, if you leave that sponge to soak in a bowl of water, when you pour that water in again, that sponge will soften and it will be able to hold so much water, and you can wring it out and massive amounts of water will drip off. And I think it's a bit like that when we devote ourselves to prayer. When we take time out to just be in God's presence, we're like that sponge which softens and is able to take in and absorb and receive so much more of God's Spirit, that when we go out from that place, we drip that Spirit, we drip God's Spirit everywhere we go. And I think that's something of what was happening there with the disciples. Their hearts were softened and prepared to receive the Spirit on that day. And maybe that's a challenge for us in this coming week, is to dwell in God's presence and pray, God, will you soften my heart to receive an infilling, a new filling of your Spirit. That in this time, this strange time, that actually I may be so dripping with your Spirit that I can't help share that and witness to others through that. So I think it softened their own hearts. But secondly, I think it softened the hearts of those who they would witness to on that day of Pentecost, the crowd where 3,000 came to faith that day. You know, when we pray, we trust that actually those prayers make a difference. Those prayers soften the soil. Soften, break up the hardened soil for God's Spirit to be at work. Maybe actually so many more came to faith on that day of Pentecost because those believers were gathered together in prayer. And that's our invitation this week for Thy Kingdom Come, is to gather together in prayer with Christians from all over the world to pray for God's kingdom to come, to pray for this world to be more aligned to God's ways, to pray that actually people would have their hearts softened and in these times turn to Christ. You know, there's no really exciting thing happening. I think we've heard from people like Pete Gregg, who's talked about how many people who don't normally log on are logging on to services, church services. How many more people are praying than usual? God is doing something in this place. It's his work. It's his mission that we're invited to join in. And so may we, this time of Thy Kingdom Come, be devoted to prayer, to praying for God's kingdom to come, for praying for others to come to know Jesus. So I invite you to be still. Just as Jesus invited those first disciples to be his witnesses, he invites us to be his witnesses in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we are. But the great news is that he doesn't send us alone. He equips us and he empowers us with his Spirit. So perhaps just where you are, may you open yourself to God's Spirit. That God would pour his Spirit into each of our hearts, that we might be empowered to be Christ's witnesses. And Lord, we say our hearts are open. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're now going to continue in prayer.
Let us pray. We come to you this morning, dear Lord, as our friend and our Saviour. We thank you that in the storms of life, you are with us in the boat, saying, "Peace be with you." So we ask, Lord, that however we are feeling right now, you will meet us at our point of need. Help us to give our burdens to you in the quietness of our hearts, knowing that your timing is perfect. Dear Lord, we pray for our country at this time of acute crisis. We pray for those who are seeking to find a cure for COVID-19, those working on the front line in our hospitals, care homes, doctors' surgeries, providing us with food and policing our streets. May they know your peace, your presence and protection as they carry out their jobs. And we pray for our leaders that you will give them wisdom and foresight in the decisions that they make, that they will be for the good of the country and the people, and not for their own glory. We pray particularly for our children and your people at this time. Lord, life is so difficult for them, uncertain, and they see their dreams blown away by the virus. Draw near to them, protect their minds and emotions from stress and anxiety. And may we, as the adults in their lives, use words to uplift and encourage them. We pray especially about the reopening of our schools, that this will be in your timing and not the government's. And we pray especially for the rich, the wells, and the parish schools, and the two high schools, for their head teachers and for staff. We ask that your presence will be with all those who are ill and grieving, anxious or stressed. Draw alongside them, Lord, and may they know your peace. And we pray especially for Janet Simmons at this time, thanking you for the life of Rod's faithful service to you, and praying that you will bring comfort to this family. As we embark on Thy Kingdom Come this week, we ask for you to keep us faithful in praying regularly for our friends, neighbours, town and country. We do ask, Lord, that even in these difficult times, your kingdom will continue to be established and grow as people turn back to you. May we, this week, find ways to show your love and care to our families, friends and neighbours. Go before us, Lord, into this week. Give us peace, provide for our needs, and protect us from harm. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret, for leading us in our prayers. I want to encourage us to stay in an attitude of prayer, and particularly to remember, reflect back to those things that we were thinking about, that we're still waiting for, where we haven't yet seen breakthrough, where we still desire to see the fruit. Where are we waiting? And just encourage in your hearts to bring those once again before the Lord, to hand them back over to the Lord. And if you feel able to say, "I trust you, Lord, in your timing, for your purposes." And to release yourself of any burden that you might be carrying. You might just physically like to hand that over using your hands. Give them to him. And as you do that, we're now going to listen to a short testimony of someone who has seen, doesn't find waiting easy, but has seen the fruit of answered prayer as an encouragement to us. And then after the testimony, we'll continue with some sung worship. So here's Simon.
Hi, Peter's asked me to talk a bit about waiting. I'm the wrong person to ask. I am rubbish at waiting for anything. It's been something that I've needed to improve for a long time. So I wanted to talk a bit about something that's been happening in lockdown for me, which is that my sister's been really ill with depression for a couple of years now. And I have been desperate to help because I really want to help her. And I've been sort of talking to my brother-in-law when Charlotte's not been well enough about what I can do to help and all my ideas. And I've been really frustrated because all my ideas, it feels like to me, have been rejected. So a couple of weekends ago, I sent my brother-in-law a text with a great idea I had, and he sent me rather a cursory text back. And in my normal style, I was all set to go into battle with him and respond very quickly. But luckily, my wife preached a bit of caution, so I slept on it. Then I talked to a church member at St Andrews, and he sort of also agreed with Kate. So and said to me, why don't you just say to your brother-in-law, what can I do to help? And then a couple of days later, I was praying with another church member and praying into the situation. And amazingly, after 2 years, the opportunity came up for me to nip over to Leyburn in North Yorkshire and have a walk with Mark and have a chat. And that was just absolutely brilliant. And I just feel that prayers were answered, and there was a real meeting of minds, and I really hope that, and I believe that things would be better in terms of my relationship with my brother-in-law and my sister, and I really pray things will be better for my sister as a result of that brilliant conversation. And already things are starting to feel like things are unblocking. Thank you, God, for that.
I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Judging our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is free in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you, Lord, and I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in saints being. And in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. In the name of God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of
Let's just dwell in a moment of stillness as we sit in the words that we've just sung, that summarized our faith. Those words that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for us, that he rose and sits on the right hand of God right now, that he is living and active, that God knows us intimately and loves us. He loves you. Just draw upon those words. May they be the solid ground upon which we do daily life. The sure footing, the truth that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming to the end of our service now. And just before we finish, I wanted to give you a bit more detail on the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative and how you can get involved, and how St Andrew's and All Saints are getting involved this week. As from tomorrow morning, we're going to be doing a morning prayer, Zoom prayer, from 9 to 9:45. Please come and join that. The details are on the website. We're also encouraging all of us to name or pray for five people who don't yet know Jesus, and to each day lift their name to the Lord and pray that they would welcome Jesus into their life and that they would know his love for them. On Friday, we're going to do 24 hours of complete prayer. There's a way of signing up on the website, and whether you can pray for an hour, whether you can pray for more, whether you can pray for 10 minutes, maybe it's just 5 minutes, just get involved. You can sign up there from 9 o'clock Friday through to 9 o'clock on Saturday, and then once again praying for new people to come to know the Lord. Also, there are some reflections which different church ministers from around Malvern have done, just two-minute prayer reflections, which might help you, but also introduce you to some of the other ministers around Malvern as well. So they're available to you. The Thy Kingdom Come website has much more resources that you can dip into. There's family resources, there's stuff for kids, and do dip into that and get involved. So let me finish. I want to finish slightly differently today by sharing reading a poem. A poem written by Rosemary Clare, I understand from Malvern. In fact, I was given this book by one of you soon after I arrived. And I'd like to read this poem as a blessing to us all. And the poem is called Waiting on the Lord. I waited, Lord, but nothing came. But my trust in you remained. The silence made my heart ache as I pondered which path to take. Then slowly the answer came to just praise him and proclaim the mighty power of his love flowing through me from above. No need to struggle. Just lean on him who once again has been. Union with him will show the way as closer to him I stay. Oh, what freedom, what delight as I journey in his light. Precious words indeed for us as we press in alongside him in this time. And so let me finish with the blessing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you and stay with us throughout this coming week, now and always. Amen. Well, bless you. Look forward to rejoining you next Sunday as we celebrate Pentecost together. Bye-bye.